1 Kings chapter 19. I want to talk to you today about after revival. We had revival services this past week. Began last Sunday night. Had five services in all. And that's what we're going to talk about today, after revival. 1 Kings 19, beginning in verse 9. Elijah had been fleeing from Jezebel, who threatened his life, even though he had killed 400 prophets of Baal, and he'd been hiding. And he was in a cave at the time. And it says, there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord, that's God's voice, came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars and they've killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, he being God, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And then, if you will, turn to Luke chapter 22 in the New Testament. Luke 22. Beginning in verse 40. Jesus had already implemented the Last Supper, and he'd gone out to the Garden of Gethsemane with his, in the Mount of Olives, with his disciples, and he was going there to pray. And it says, and when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And when he was withdrawn from them, a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, this is how he prayed, saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. But then the most powerful part of his prayer, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Amen. Not my will, but yours be done. The meetings are over. The revival meetings. The lights are turned off. The evangelist is gone. Now the test of how much change of the heart has taken place will be revealed. Over the next days, weeks, and months. It's after revival. What now? Now we find out if we just had revival meetings, or if we have transformation taking place. Amen. Listen to me, church. True revival is not a matter of hanging a banner out that announces revival this week. True revival is not a superficial, emotional response that results in a temporary experience, but no long-term fruit of righteousness. True revival is when the living God, authoritatively and powerfully breaks into human history with the good news of his salvation. It begins with his people coming under deep conviction of sin and turning from that sin in genuine, in real repentance. It always involves a recovery of biblical truth, especially the truth about how sinners are reconciled to a holy God. It involves a recovery of the centrality and the authority of God's word over all of life. Amen. Not one part or two parts, but over all of life. Amen. You see, the renewed sense of God's presence, his power, his holiness and truth, then when that happens, it inevitably spills out of the church into the world, resulting in many real conversions. You know, why do you say, Pastor, it involves the recovery of biblical truth and the recovery of the centrality of authority of his word? Because we lose that. We lose that. We go through time and life beats on us and things beats on us. We beat on ourselves and we lose biblical truth and we start operating on emotions and feelings. So part of revival is recovering biblical truth, beginning to operate on that. Yes, it's emotional. Yes, it involves feelings. But that's not faith, and that's not real revival. We have to recover biblical truth and the focus of the authority of God's word over all of our life. See, true revival precedes something. It precedes transformation. Transformation is standing fast with the word in battle. Not wavering, not compromising, not being overcome with fear, but steadfast in the cause of truth and the application of it to your life. See, there's a difference of knowing truth and then applying it to your life. Actually, the easiest part is knowing it. Hard part's applying it. Man, listen to me, man cannot orchestrate such a powerful moving of God as that. God is sovereign in bringing revival. Sovereign means supreme. Transformation. Transformation is preceded by revival. Revival precedes transformation. This won't be on the screen, but I want to read this scripture to you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That means beseech means I urge you, I encourage you, I beg you. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, a living sacrifice. God's not asking you to die for him. He wants you to live for him. Amen. To be a living sacrifice. And here it is. The next verse, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A lot of people came to five revival services, and many left on an emotional high. And although that's a natural part of human emotion, I really hope that many more left on a spiritual high, transformed by the presence of God. You see, if you showed up here this morning expecting earthquake, wind, and fire, then most likely your revival ended last Wednesday evening. You see, it's awesome to see the wind. It's awesome to see the fire. It's awesome to see the earthquake. But just as Elijah found out, God's not always in the wind and the earthquake and the fire. Most often, God's in a still, small voice. It speaks right here. But if you came this morning with a new hunger and a thirst for God, then you just may hear that still, small voice this morning at some point, which will keep you in a process of transformation. Listen, people, I can't hit a home run every week. The worship and the tech team can't hit a home run every week. But if you're truly hungry and thirsty for God, He'll knock it out of the park every time. Every time. I'm going to put a slide up that's our tagline, has been since we started the church. And I, for years, I've prayed that it becomes a reality more than just a tagline. Go ahead and bump that up, Morgan. Real people, real life, a real God. I want to share a quote with you. It's a quote. Very short. It's time to grow up, church. That's a quote. I'm quoting someone. Those words were prophesied 3 times over Heartcry in years past. What does that mean? Well, it starts with getting real. Quit trying to fake it until you make it. I saw some people start to get real this past week. You know, at least 4 people came up to Daniel Couch at different times during the week and asked him to forgive them for judging him and for taking offense to him instead of letting God use him to do a work in their life, in their heart. Another person stood up in the service and confessed how they considered leaving the church the last few months. They thought, it's just not happening here. They weren't seeing the wind and the earthquake and the fire. They confessed to not having made friends here, and that was their fault. That's why we have life groups. That's why we have functions together, to make friends, to make opportunity to make friends. You know, there may be some people here that you'll find out you'll like if you get to know them. Another person confessed to holding on to an old wound, almost skipping the revival after Sunday because the messages were pouring salt in the wound. That person got real, and they started the process of healing right then. And although they know there's more to do to finish the healing, they got real. Yes. They got real so it could start. Do you know what salt does to a wound? It burns and it stings. You ever had a little cut on your hand or something and you got salt in it? It burns, it stings, it hurts. But you know what? In the old days, back before my time, of course, I just heard about it. But if you had a bad wound, they'd put salt in it. Because you know what? Besides burning and stinging, it also purifies and starts healing the wound. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Amen. Don't stop the healing process. Let God complete it. You see, too often, we want to pray how Jesus prayed. Take the cup away. We'd really rather not have to forgive. We'd really rather not take responsibility for our part. We get used to our wounds, used to the pain, and we become comfortable with it, believe it or not. And we don't see how it affects us in real life. We have to get to the point where we can say, not my will, but yours be done. In all areas of our life, especially in the church, but in the house too, in the home. Not my will, but yours be done, Father God. I spoke truth to another person who was going to skip the first service last Sunday morning. Not because they had to, but because they were choosing to. It just wasn't priority. Judgmental? No. Just truth. Why? Because I knew their marriage was dead, their words. The child was rebellious, and they were a wreck. And I just couldn't understand why they didn't see the need for every ounce of God, His Word and His presence, every ounce that they could scratch and claw and grapple to get. Their response was, we were texting, don't bust my chops. Don't bust my chops. So I had a choice. Be real and tell them the truth. or just say, okay, not care about them. And they were mad at me. I knew they were mad at me. I knew they would be. They told me when they got here last Sunday morning they were mad at me. At least they were getting real. Amen. Wednesday night, that person confessed it all. Their part in the mess in their family, their anger toward me. You see, real people, real life means real transformation.
Yes.
It means change.
Amen.
It's what Daniel Capps preached about through the week last week mostly was change. Change. Allowing change. Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. See, when in your heart and in your mind, you get to the place that it's not about you, then transformation really is taking place. It really is taking place. Several people submitted their lives to Christ for the very first time during revival services. They came to the reality of a real God and their need for Jesus. That's not revival. That's the beginning of transformation, friends. You see, in the last 72 hours since the revival, the devil's already whispered lies to those people. Nothing happened. You haven't changed. You can't live up to it. You've probably had a fallout with your wife or your kids already. Problems at work. Listen to me. Listen to me. God is as real as the breath you're breathing right now. He's as real as the air that you're breathing right now. Don't buy the lie. Keep the change in your life growing. Several people ask me Wednesday after service, what do we do now? How do we keep the revival going? I want you to listen to me, please. Revival's over. It's after revival now. See, revival is the beginning of transformation. After revival, if it's real, comes a continuing process of transformation.
Amen.
After revival. I want to give you three things today to keep transformation taking place in your life. Actually, I'm going to give you four. Which if you do, it will result, these things will result in transformation of this church. I said, if we'll do these things, it will result in the transformation of this church because it will transform us first.
Amen.
As people. But first, I want to tell you one thing not to do if you were a part of the revival services. You see, not everybody experienced the revival or all through the services. Some couldn't for various reasons. Some wouldn't for various reasons. But here's what I want you not to do if you were here. Don't overwhelm people. Don't overwhelm people with, man, you sure missed a great thing, or you should have been here. If you're asked about it, share what God did in your life. If he didn't do anything in your life during revival, then you get with God and ask him to. You see, there's a reason why the Bible says you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart.
Amen. Yes, yes.
There's a reason that's in the Bible.
Amen.
You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's time to grow up, church.
Hallelujah.
It's time to grow up.
Ouch,
kindergarten's over.
That's it.
I mean, really, it's time to grow up. And I'll tell you, you know, we had some good services. But what took place Wednesday night, I pray and hope was the beginning of transformation.
Hallelujah.
I would trade all the other four services. I wouldn't trade all the other, I'd trade all the other four services for that one service. So after revival, what now? How do we keep transformation going? Number one is the word. You're going to have to write it. It's not on the screen. I didn't have this when I had to turn the the stuff in for the tech team to do their programming. The Word, God's Word. Let me tell you something. All I can say about that is this is life.
Amen.
This is life. Jesus called it the bread of life.
That's right.
It's food.
Amen.
It's spiritual food. And we can't live without it.
Come on.
We can't live without it. It's life. Well, what do you mean? Read it. Read it. Take time to read it. If you don't do anything else but that, that's number one. I put it number one because it is number one. If you don't do any of these other three things of the four, do that. Get into the Bible and start reading it. It'll help you. Now, you won't understand all of it in the beginning, but you ask God for understanding, and the Holy Spirit will give it to you. The Word. You want transformation? God's Word. Second thing is prayer. Prayer. You know what? Prayerlessness is a death nail to churches. I'll say it again. Prayerlessness is a death nail to churches. We need more than three people here early Sunday morning praying before the service. We need people praying during the week. I've watched a little church struggling to exist around the corner a few years ago get to the point now where they don't have enough room. They need the whole building. We got a CASA brother back there running our sound today. And I guarantee you, he'll tell you what did it was prayer. They pray. They have teams praying. They have worshipers. They have intercessors praying. Not just on Sunday morning. 8-hour shifts during the week. At least a couple days a week that I know of. We need people praying. Praying for the pastors. Praying for each other. Praying for staff. Praying for God. To keep transformation moving. Third thing is trust. Trust. You know, there we saw in one of the messages, Daniel talked about the Ark of the Covenant and how as long as they handled that and God's people, the Israelites, kept it in their possession, they were winning every battle. And the enemies figured this out. So they came in and stole it. And they took it with them. But guess what? It didn't do any good. You see the box, that thing called the Ark of the Covenant? The important thing is what it represented. It represented the presence of God. And so they stole the Ark and took it over to the enemy camp. But the presence of God wasn't there. We have to trust. And he talked about how when they were carrying it back, David was having it brought back. And they were carrying it and it started to tilt. And Uzzah, I believe it was, reached up to grab it to keep it from flipping over. And dropped dead. Just like that. Because God said, don't touch it. Run the poles through the rings and hold it by that. Don't touch it. What's that got to do with trust? Don't grab on to a situation. Trust means don't grab on to your situation. Only touch, listen to me, only touch what God tells you to. You know, it's amazing what God will do. It's amazing what He does when you let go of something. When you let go of your marriage, when you let go of your kids. When you let go of situations and circumstances that you can't control.
Amen.
Trust. And the last thing is stay humble before God.
Yes.
The fourth thing is to stay humble before God. You know, God wants us to be real people. God knows we go through real life. And sometimes life is wonderful. And sometimes it absolutely stinks. Stay humble before God. Another quote. Everything in this age is shallow. The consequence is that people leap into religion and then leap out again. Unhumbled, and I know that's not grammatically correct, but it's a quote. I'm just reading it. Unhumbled, they come into church. Unhumbled, they remain in it. And unhumbled, they go from it. We need to stay humble before God. Let me tell you something I learned a long time ago. When you're really doing good spiritually, and you're really feeling close to God, and think, man, this is great, I'm really going and going. Be careful. Be careful. Humble yourself before God. Because if you think salt in the wound hurts and stings, wait till God humbles you. Been there too many times. Humble yourself before God. Don't make him have to humble you. Listen, this is important, and if you're writing notes, you might want to write it down. You know, I get it. I understand that, you know, church is an organism that Jesus created and established, and God designed to build his kingdom. But I get it, the fact that you're dealing with hundreds of people. Everybody has different ideas, different thoughts, tastes, wants, desires, blah, blah, blah. But here's what I want you to get. If you want the church to change, let God change you first.
Yes, yes, yes.
If you want the church to change, let God change you first. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I want you to close your notes. And I just want you to get into a position of prayer before God, whatever that means to you. If you close your eyes and pray, close your eyes, bow your head, whatever you do. Look up toward God. But I want you to focus on him for a minute. It's a time of prayer, and I'm going to close with this. You know, it invariably begins with his people. Revival, and then transformation. It begins with his people, the church, not the unchurched, the church, coming under deep conviction of sin, and then turning from that sin in genuine repentance. Men may look at our deeds, but God looks first at our heart. This means we must trust in Christ for forgiveness of all our sins and for his righteousness in place of our own. You see, we must judge our sins on the thought level, because the Bible says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him, God, to whom we must give an account. In other words, God sees everything. We can fake it before the church in the world, but we can't fake it before God. Salvation is a far greater display of God's power than physical miracles are. He can raise someone from the dead, but you know what? It's far more amazing how he can give them a new heart. People will read our lives. People will read our lives if we're truly different. Or rather, we're just putting on a show. It's time for this church to grow up and stop putting on a show. Then, as we live under the control of the Holy Spirit, He'll use us to bear witness to others of the hope that's within us. If we live righteous lives, set apart, not perfect, righteous and set apart to Him, to God, filled with His Spirit, then God can transform our lives and use us to bring transformation after revival. Many came to the altar during the five services. I mean, the front was flooded. You had to climb over people to get to people. Some not knowing why. But I can tell you really and truly, there was only two reasons to come to the altar. The first one is you need Jesus, or you need revival. So that's the invitation this morning. If you need Jesus, come to the altar. Put your life down before Him and give it to Him. If you need revival, come and sit at His feet. Ask Him to take revival and transform you as a beginning of transformation. He knows your name. He knows your name. And He wants to get to know you. Each one of us, more personally. Transformation. It's after revival. We'll see what comes. We'll see if it's real. God bless you. Have a great week.